we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life.
Welcome to the Formed for Good podcast. You are joining a group of men who are aiming to recover the truth about who we are and what we were made for.
While back, I was doing some contracting work. So I crossed paths quite often with other contractors and tradesmen. And there was this particular gentleman who had a painting and drywall business, and his 20-something year old son worked with him. And in the course of a couple of weeks, he came to the job site with some stories of things that had happened with his son. The first one was they were leaving a job from a pretty expensive neighborhood and large house. It was an important project for him. And the son had managed to knock over a 5-gallon bucket of paint across the driveway. Not sure what color it was, but it was plenty noticeable and was going to require a fair amount of money to clean up. And so they basically were going to come out negative on the job. And then it was a week or two later, he came in and they had lost the trailer. They were able to recover it, but it actually become unhitched as they were driving to the job site because his son had not followed all the protocols when he was attaching the trailer to the truck. And there were several other instances like this that came up over the time that I knew this guy. And what struck me, he was never happy about it. I'm sure that his son had some words from him, but he also still worked for him. He didn't fire his son. He didn't turn him away. And there was just this recognition that no matter how much his son came up short, no matter how much he screwed up, no matter how much money he cost his dad, there was still this unconditional love, and he still had a job. His father forgave him. It's just a beautiful picture of one of the things that's available to us as God's sons, as his adopted sons, is we have his affirmation and we have his love, and those things can't be earned and they can't be lost. He bestows that on us by the nature of the fact that we're his kids. When we respond to that invitation to become adopted, the love is just there. It's the foundation of everything. But there's another aspect of being a son that's important, and it's actually still part of his love. It still falls under that category, but it takes a different form. And that topic is authority. And any father wants to entrust his kids with authority to be able to have the power and the tools and the training to face the things that they need to face in this world. And a father wants them to be able to walk in this authority. But authority is a little bit different than affirmation in the sense that although the father wants to give it to his children, it is something that you have to grow into, that you have to learn how to be able to handle. It has to be given in phases. You can't just jump into it. And actually, before a son can begin to walk in authority and exercise the authority of his father and handle strength and power, he actually has to come under that authority. There has to be a humility there and a posture where he's willing to come under the authority and the discipline of his father so that he can be trained and develop the character by which he can handle those powerful things that his father wants to entrust to him. Reminds me of another story years ago. I was in high school, so many years ago, and my dad used to drive my sister and I and our neighbor to school. And the highway we took was a 65-mile-an-hour highway, and we were driving there one morning, and there was another young man, a teenager, in a pickup truck on a cross street, and he pulled out onto the highway as we were passing at 65 miles an hour. And somehow he didn't see us, and he broadsided, T-boned us on the driver's side. The van rolled and ended up upside down, sliding into the ditch. And thankfully, we all had our seatbelts on. As long ago as it was, I will never forget the sound of his car, his truck hitting our van. I wasn't watching out the window, so I didn't see it coming. But I just remember this incredibly intense sound of metal just being crushed and scraping across the ground. And the next thing I knew, we were hanging upside down and unbuckling to climb out the broken windows. But we all walked away, and actually with very little injury. And I remember afterwards, the kid, he was upset. He felt bad. He came running over. He was kind of in shock, and he was apologizing. And shortly after that, his dad showed up on the scene. This young man was talking to the police, and his father showed up and got out and joined the conversation. And then I'll never forget what happened next. Within a few minutes of the father being there, he took his keys and handed them to his son. And the son took his father's car and drove off to school while his dad stayed there to deal with the cleaning up the accident and talking to the police. And interestingly enough, that turned out that a young man went to the same school that we did. And a few months later, he ended up causing another accident, this time with one of my sister's friends. He ended up rear-ending them on some icy roads on the way to school. And on the one hand, this father, clearly a loving dad, shows up to help his son out after this very intense accident. But there was a piece of me that always thought, you know, what probably would have been best for that young man is not for his dad to hand him his keys and for him to get in another car after he just caused an accident that could have killed four people, possibly five. Possibly the more loving thing that the father could have done was to require his son to take the bus for a while after that, and to take him through a season of training of what it means to operate a motor vehicle and the responsibility that that is. It's an important thing that a father wants to hand keys to his son, but the son has to be prepared and able to handle that. And so, like I said, authority, while it's a part of being a son and something the father wants to give to us, it is given in stages, and it is given as we become prepared to handle it. And the primary way that we can become able to handle those things is to have that posture of humility where we will come under his authority, his discipline, his correction. Right? In Hebrews, it says that God disciplines his sons, the ones that he calls his sons, the ones that he loves. And there is this progression to it. We were out in the yard the other day. We had some limbs that had to come down and a tree that had split in half after a storm. And so we had all this wood in the yard, and my wife and the kids and my brother and sister-in-law were out there, and we're all processing this wood. And I noticed at one point, as I looked around, there was a progression to the tools that were being used. So my youngest son had found a drywall saw in my tool bin, and he was cutting small branches off of some of the limbs with this little hand saw. And then my two next oldest children were using hatchets and some larger saws. My second oldest son had a battery powered chainsaw that you can sort of operate with one hand. And I was out there with them supervising, but he was taking off some of the larger limbs. And then my oldest son, my 15-year-old, was operating the full size gas chainsaw. And, you know, the kids have the gear on and I'm keeping an eye on everything, but there was this tangible picture of this progression of this power that we're entrusting to them so that they can help do the work. But there's a graduation to it. And as the older each child got, the more they were being entrusted with, the more dangerous the tool that they were using. And there's some miles there where my older sons have had to learn and come under my authority to be able to be allowed to handle those tools. They had to be humble and receive my instruction and my wife's instruction on how to use the tools, on the proper eye protection and ear protection to be wearing. I'm paying attention to what the saw is doing and where are the people around them. They had to come under that authority before we can entrust that to them. And if I come out one morning and my son's pulling the chainsaw out of the shed to go do some cutting and we haven't checked in first, he's going to have that tool removed from him for a time. And that authority is going to be put on hold, because I have to be able to see that they can handle it, because I don't want it to hurt them or anyone else. And so how I want to close this out, I've been thinking a lot lately about coming under God's authority as his sons and learning to make that a posture and thinking about all the ways that I still sometimes sort of buck against that authority and I'm not fully submitted or yielded to God. Because I'd like to suggest it's not weakness to say that we need God's help or to submit ourselves to him or to yield our strength to him. It's actually a great sign of strength, and it is the only way we can truly become strong. And so as I've been thinking about that, I've started to pray that way over the past couple of months and really trying to think through every aspect of my life and every aspect of who I am. And eventually that turned into a prayer, sort of an outline for a prayer that I have been calling a man under authority, based on a passage in Matthew 8:9. And I've actually recorded that prayer, and I'm going to play that now at the end of this podcast The audio version of the prayer is also available just on the prayer page on formforgood.com. And there's a downloadable, printable PDF as well with the written prayer with some space to add things. And so it's not a formula. It's just an outline that's really been helping me to daily think about going from my mind all the way down to my feet and just yielding myself to God as his son, coming under his authority so that I can learn to begin to walk in and be trusted with that authority as I face the things that come against me in this world. God, my Father, I have been adopted by your love and invited into your house. You've chosen to make me a son. This is my core identity and the foundation of my life. But you are not only my Father, you are also the ruler over everything. And you put everything under Jesus Christ, who chose the cross and walked first in the resurrection. You've made Jesus the King of all kings and have given him authority over everything, including my life. Therefore, I am both a son and a man under your authority. I confess I used to buck authority, and I thought I could handle things on my own. I wanted to be the writer, director, and producer of my own story. I acted like the drafter, the foreman, and the one-man crew of my own projects. I operated in my wisdom and did things my way. My will dominated, and I refused to give up my invalid claim to lead. I trusted in my own muscle, and it did not go well. In moments of sinking, I mostly defaulted to self-saving rather than asking for help. I mismanaged my life, which brought harm to myself and those in my circle. And I've tried to mend my life on my own, but it doesn't work, because on his own, no man can be good enough. Though the old man has died, there are days he haunts me and begs for resurrection. So again, I put to death my former ways. I choose today to stand under the shelter and shade of your authority. I yield my strength and hand over everything I have. I choose humility, and I come as a child utterly dependent on his parents for survival. You've given me full access to the Spirit of Truth, who is my helper, and I confess I need your help. God, my Father, Jesus, my King, and Holy Spirit, my help, I give you unlimited access to my mind. Help me to arrest every thought and submit it to your judgment. I hold up every emotion to the piercing light of your truth. Your ways are above my ways. Your thoughts outnumber all the sediment and sand on the earth. I ask for the mind of Christ. I want to think your thoughts today. Flood my mind with truth, honor, justice, purity, love, and everything that is commendable, excellent, and worthy of worship. Infuse my ideas with your creativity. Grant me the generous outpouring of your wisdom. I gladly trade the wisdom of man for the wisdom of heaven. The wisdom by which you built the earth and divided the water yields a much higher return than silver. I choose to love wisdom like a sister or a brother. God, my Father, Jesus, my King, and Holy Spirit, my help, I give you my eyes and ears, for they are open windows to my soul. Place a lens over my eyes and a filter in my ears. Block the data that is damaging to my inner life. I choose to make a covenant with my eyes, and I want to be selective about the sounds I let in. Intensify your light and improve my signal to noise ratio so I may see and hear clearly in the chaos. Give me eyes to see the invisible reality
and give me ears to hear your voice. Expose my blind spots and remove the veil that used to bury me in darkness. Let me learn to perceive with the eyes and ears of my heart so I may be healed. God, my Father, Jesus, my King, and Holy Spirit, my help, I pray the empty words of this man could be backfilled with your Spirit. Let my speech bring revival instead of death. Let my voice rebuild rather than tear down. And let my tongue refresh those around me rather than setting things on fire. I submit myself to your full censorship. Place a bit in my mouth and set your burning coal to my lips. I want to honor you with the things I say. God, my Father, Jesus, my King, and Holy Spirit, my help, I give you the weight I've shouldered most of my life. My soul is screaming for rest, and so I choose to drop the exhausting yoke of self-rule. Along with these burdens, I set down the sum total of my life. Please give it back to me only after it is fully reformed. I've learned there is no profit in gaining the world, so I gladly pick up the cross you've assigned to me, and I welcome the resurrection that comes with it. God, my Father, Jesus, my King, and Holy Spirit, my help, I surrender my heart to you. Give me the will to give up my will. I relinquish the control I've tried to hold over my life. In the places my will conflicts with yours, let mine drop dead. Make my way obsolete. You know what needs to happen, so help me get out of the way. I want to be a funnel for your kingdom to come here and now. I also give you my heart's desires. I hold loosely to the good desires you've conceived in me. I realize some of these dreams will be fulfilled in this life, but many are being stockpiled for the life to come. I look forward to that day with hope, and I'm done demanding fast outcomes. In addition, I repent of the wrong desires in my heart, both those I'm aware of and those I'm ignorant to. Help me turn away from the muddy wells where I used to drink. I ask you to uproot and cut off any attachments I've made with lesser and destructive things. Let my primary and fullest desire be for you, God, the giver of all life. May I pursue you as a thirsty man hunts for water. I choose to chase after your kingdom first, knowing every good gift will follow, and let your love fill any void in my heart so I have enough reserves to love others. God, my Father, Jesus, my King, and Holy Spirit, my help, I trust you for the very breath in my lungs. I am alive because you breathed into the nostrils of man from the beginning. And even today, it is the force of your life that keeps me breathing and moving forward. Let the wind of your breath move me wherever you please, that I may be a man born of your Spirit. God, my Father, Jesus, my King, and Holy Spirit, my help, I offer my hands for your use. For much of my life, I used my hands to grasp for security and to work for the favor of men. I avoided picking up any tool I didn't know how to use for fear of failure. I repent of all that so I can put my hand to the plow and carry out the holy and good work you've given me to do. Whether it is for me to carry a shovel at the back of the parade or draft a letter to the king, may I do it in a way that honors you and advances your kingdom. Whether planting or protecting, may I work with you rather than alone and for the good of others rather than for myself. God, my Father, Jesus, my King, and Holy Spirit, my help, I come to your table hungry and parched. Help me find today's bread and water. Thank you for the good things you give your sons and daughters. I also want to learn about the hidden food you spoke of and about the inner well that never dries up. I reject the food of wickedness and the wine of violence offered at every corner. Show me how to live off the words that come from your mouth. God, my Father, Jesus, my King, and Holy Spirit, my help, I consecrate my sexuality to you. Pass me through the filter of your pure love. Thank you for the mysterious gift of this union that fulfills and generates life. Empower me to protect, dignify, and cherish my wife. And if you're not married, possibly my future wife. And teach me the way of self-sacrifice rather than the way of consumption. These bodies you gave us are temples made to house your spirit. Help me to stay in the reality of this sacred truth so I can honor not only my own body, but every person I meet. God, my Father, Jesus, my King, and Holy Spirit, my help, strengthen my feeble knees and level the paths before me. Keep me from getting sidetracked and cast your light on the trail ahead. Steer me away from the pits and landmines set in front of me by hateful men and spirits, and teach me to run without tripping. Thank you for my family and my friends who are willing to extend their hands when I fall. And if I do fall, may I never cease to get back up. Take me with you up the mountain, but also give me faith to trust your presence when I traverse the valley of death. God, my Father, Jesus, my King, and Holy Spirit, my help, having placed everything I have and all that I am under your authority, I now choose to exercise and operate in that authority. You said, I am seated with you at the right hand of your throne, and I can draw strength from the same source that empowered your resurrection. In the knowledge of that truth, I bring the kingdom of your light over everything I have and all that I am, and I bring it against the kingdom of darkness in Jesus' name. I draw near to you, Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. And from there, I resist the accuser of the brothers. I reject the ancient lie of self-promotion. And I take back the birthright promised to your sons before you made the world. I lift high the shield you gave me to block every burning arrow. Grant me courage to move forward where I should advance, and the restraint to stand still when I must hold the ground already taken. God, my Father, Jesus, my King, and Holy Spirit, my help, I come as your son, your servant, and your friend. I am a man under your authority. I yield again today to that authority that I may be covered by it and carry it wherever I go and in whatever I do this day. In the good and powerful name of Jesus, amen.